In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So sometimes in life, the absence of a loved one seems even more powerful than his or her presence. For those of you who have a child, maybe that went off to college, perhaps you've gone by their rooms and had a little bit of heartache. The place seems empty without them. That's also probably why everybody gets dogs when their kids leave home, because the place feels empty without them. And more seriously, for anyone who has lost someone dear to them, and for some this is very recent, we generally keep the rooms and the things of loved ones as they are for a long time, because otherwise the place seems empty without them. Mary Magdalene was surely feeling this way even more intensely as she seeks Jesus on the first Easter morning in today's Easter reading. Her violent loss was raw and it was intense. Their teacher and friend was ripped out of their lives and she couldn't even find his tomb, or couldn't find him in his tomb. So the place would literally empty without him. But not for long, as you know. Somehow this utter loss of Jesus, the crucifixion of not only his life, but his significance and his mission, it seemed, somehow this would be redeemed for the remaking of his disciples and the entire world by his Spirit, such that the world would begin to number our calendar by the birth of this man, Jesus Christ. And that each Sunday, we celebrate his triumph over death and 2.5 billion Christians today who cherish and follow him do the same. So how does loss turn into life? That is the subject of Easter, of which there are hundreds of lessons and sermons, and perhaps that's why in the Armenian Church, this is the eighth day of Easter and called Gerknazatik, the second Easter. And it's why Easter continues all the way for 50 days until Pentecost, because there's so many lessons of how loss turns to life. And every single gospel word, including today's reading, has details of these life lessons on loss. Here's the first. Mary can't find Jesus because she is lost in grief, but she does the one thing needed. She is present. Unlike all the other disciples, she can't find Jesus, but she is present, so then Jesus can find her. That's the first bit of powerful wisdom on dealing with loss as Christians. Let's not run away from loss. Let's not run away from grief. As the angels tell Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to mourn. Don't be afraid to sit with the pain of a loss and wait patiently and faithful for your loss to be filled. Trust in the Lord. Mary came to her Lord's tomb despite her heartache, despite her fear of arrest, and despite her pain at this great loss. So maybe if we stand patiently and faithfully before the losses of our lives, whether they're small ones or big ones, the emptiness won't disappear, but new grace and meaning will find them. And over time, we will find out that though it's true that we lose our children as children when they move out, maybe it's an even greater joy to refine them as adults. Perhaps with God's grace and with time, we can trust that loved ones past aren't really gone. They're somehow with us and within us in spirit and will be fully present in the kingdom. And perhaps today on the 110th commemoration of the genocide of 1.5 million Armenians were present before God, still grieving our pain and loss, but waiting to be found again by a hope that is much greater than us. And that brings us to our second life lesson on loss in today's reading. What we need in times of trial and loss is the hardest thing to do. We need to stay open to God and to others and to trust. Otherwise, we risk getting stuck in our loss, stuck in our grief. That's likely the reason behind Jesus' kind of strange words to Mary in today's reading, "Do not cling on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but tell my brothers and tell them I've risen, conquered death." Mary Magdalene, along with all the disciples in different ways, had to learn not to cling on to the Jesus whom she knew in the past, their teacher, their friend, who was violently and unjustly taken from them. They had to surrender their anger at this injustice, even surrender the intimacy they had with him as a friend and teacher, so that they could discover something better, far better, this new reality of the risen Jesus. And because Mary was able to let go and let God, she became the apostle to the apostles, the first to bring the news of the risen Christ to all of the others. And we are asked to do the same with our losses, from the little daily ones to the greatest loss of genocide. Sometimes we can be so diligent to remember and preserve the past that we forget our God is a living God who calls us to live now and to a high future calling as well. It's natural, of course, to cherish and to cling to the things that are dear to us, especially if they are taken unjustly, as in the case of our genocide. But I pray, and I have seen, how we Armenians are learning to cling less and less to a horrible past, knowing that our martyrs are alive in Christ now and forever, and that we, as their survivors, have inherited so many blessings redeemed from their loss. And so on this feast of the martyrs of the Armenian Genocide, on Gertnazatik, may we continue to learn those life-changing lessons of loss which are offered throughout this Easter season. Let us be present before God, offering whatever pain or loss we have in our hearts up to him so that he can find what we cannot find on our own. And secondly, let's always remember not to cling to our tragic past. We Armenians are more than our genocide, just as our Lord is more than an innocent victim of murder. Jesus warned that we will see great trial in this world, but he told us, "I have overcome the world." And although this place seems empty without the loved ones lost from our families, Christ promises that none are lost who are given to him. Instead, he prepares a way for them and for us to be received and reunited into his kingdom come, where all that is lost to us is found in him, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.